For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need rain, lot of shine. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine.
398, of course, and John on JL Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Primo, a.k.a. Prime, and Mr. Hollis Thomas, a.k.a. Damn Skippy. And tonight we're talking about our 11-6 Eagles, 11-6 Eagles. We're talking about a Eagles team who has been trying to, you know, show us some things. Obviously, we haven't been wanting to see what they've been trying to show us. But, you know, the first team in NFL history to open a season 10-1 and not win 12 games. The first team in 37 years to open up 10-1 and not win its division. You talk about that, you know, Eagles being 10-1. Since that 10-1 record, the Eagles are ranked in record second worst points per game differential, -9.8. That is ranked fourth worst. Opponents' touchdowns given up 21, which is ranked worst in the NFL. Turnover differential, -8. NFL ranking, that is the worst in the NFL. So heading into the playoffs, you got to be excited, guys. You got to be excited. Hyped up for your Eagles. I know it's rough, but I feel like this team is going through something, and something that we're not privy to on the outside to see. So it's got to be something on the inside. So I think Eagle fans are sitting here. NFL pundits are putting us through the ringer. We're getting embarrassed in front of the hoes week in and week out. We're getting it from every single fan base. But we got to sit here and take it. But for you Eagle players out there wearing the midnight green, you get on that field, you represent us, you know, you try to make us proud. I mean, at least at the end of the day, that's all we ask for. If not, I would rather you take the day off and not go on the football field if you're going to play like you played last week. Just to rest up. So you got to rest up. But at the end of the day, I've seen enough. I had a free opportunity to go to that last game, but I had a feeling in the back of my head, this is what I was going to see. I mean, but Prime has been talking me out of this week in and week out about you got to get your rest. I've been dealing with a cold, but you got to get your rest. Thank you, Prime. But how are you guys feeling after that last weekend's debacle?
I got to be honest. So I think the irony is pretty funny to me that A.J. Brown decided to take the team out last week for an escape room, because this entire season feels like a room I can't escape from. It has just been hell this past month. I'm going into these playoffs with, like, in the back of my mind thinking to myself, maybe they snap out of it. Maybe they show me something. But in reality, I'm sitting here thinking, like, I have no expectations for this team in the playoffs. I've seen what this team is this year. And to me, they're not Super Bowl contenders. They're not a very good team. They're disorganized. And it's disappointing, because I think that the talent on this roster is actually really good. I think we've got really good talent player-wise. I just think that we have the wrong coaches coaching them. And it's a little bit long in the tooth right now to be switching that kind of thing up. We kind of just made our bed. Now we have to lie in it. So I'm not feeling too great about the playoffs. But hey. Go Birds, right?
Yeah. I don't know, bro. I mean, I went into Sunday with an open mind. Like, yeah, I know I told you, Gail, to go ahead and get your rest and everything. And I just chilled here at the crib watching it because, you know, just as much I had an opportunity to go up to New York. Shit, I even had the opportunity to go down to Washington and troll that game, which I really thought about doing, but my confidence level wasn't up there, man. And that's I'm glad I went with my instincts. Just sitting here watching that game, it was just like, all right, what shit show are we gonna go ahead and watch today? And you know, it was a shit show. It was very frustrating. We couldn't even get past the 50 for the longest time. We were getting blitz out our ass. He was just dropping back, didn't have no time. Nobody was doing anything. AJ Brown fumbles. I mean, it was just like everything was going bad. And then, you know, watching that game and along with the Washington game, I mean, for a little bit there, it was just like, okay, watching these guys kind of hold it down and maybe give these guys a game while we can't even, I don't know what the hell we were doing. So it was just like at the point, maybe halfway through the first quarter, I was like, it is what it is, man. Just going to have to accept this one. 11-6 looks like it's going to be the record. Looks like we're going to be playing Tampa, and that's exactly what's going on. So I know it's been a lot of talk. I'm actually tired of talking about, we know there's a problem. I don't want to keep on talking about knowing that there's a problem. We know it's an inner problem. I don't give a shit what kind of problem. We just need to address the fact that it is a problem. And going into this playoffs with that problem is not good. So I don't know what to expect on Monday, man. Just keeping it 100. I really don't. My nerves are just like, I'm really trying to find some type of positive attitude out of this. I've listened to Ocho Cinco. I know people were talking about that. I've listened to Dallas Goedert. I've listened to the fact that we're starting 0-0 again. I've heard all that. I really am, and I'm trying to put all that together to get something positive out of it, but it's still not working, man. It's just still not working. So that's where I'm at.
You're sounding like the guy from the movie Inside of Home Alone. Like, I forgive you, but my Tommy gun don't.
I was like, so okay, going into that last game, I too was under the weather. And I was watching the game, and I'm thinking, you know, listening to some of the brass all week long, and like talk about going down there, and you know, thinking that they're gonna go make a statement. And then I had the privy to hear Trey Thomas talking to Hugh on WIP, and it brought back memories of you know, standing out there in the middle of the circle, in the middle of on the Eagle. Or in the middle out there with him bringing talking this stuff, and I got goosebumps because what he said that they had a plan and they got punched in the mouth, and then they shriveled up. It's a Mike Tyson saying, and it brought me back to what I was playing with when I was playing with the Panthers, and they allowed a player right before the game to do the pregame speech, and I actually had a T-shirt made for it. Was like, every man has a great plan until they get punched in the mouth. And we got punched in the mouth, man. We shrunk up. But the part of his interview and that got me hyped was, I ain't never been took out of game because I was getting my ass whooped. Never. We got our asses handed to us. And I think it's a lot of people were saying, I think it's me personally, I got pissed. I don't know about y'all, but when the first offensive series, you remember the first offensive series? We ran a couple of plays, and then we ran a play where Kenny Gainwell got like 25 or 30 yards. What did we turn around to do like the next three plays? We turned around through three passes in a row. What the fuck is that? What kind of coaching is that? And I think it's like we everybody's been saying it. It's like I think that we overestimated our coaching. We got the talent. I was like, I'm looking at this shit, and why is number seven chasing Saquon Barkley? Barkley
on the first drive, field? First play.
Yeah. What?
Dropping into coverage.
What the fudge is that? So I personally, I could coach the defense blindfolded, because you got some ball hawks, and all you got to do is put pressure, undue pressure on them. We don't slant. We don't do nothing. So I think it's the coaching too. So the one thing that I will take from this is we came out and we came out and we won despite coaching. But then, you know, when the people the things start catching up to us, the things, is this y'all takeover again? Is this y'all take over again? Because
I think his connection was shot.
Okay. Well, that was so. I was right there with you guys too. Once he did that on the first drive, I literally started cussing. I was sitting here like my brother, and my brother's funny. So, as you guys know, I have acute pancreatitis, and I was pretty sick. I was pretty down. So after the first half, all of a sudden, I heard my door because my brother is he's the only one that has the key to come into my condo. He comes to my door. He sees me on the couch like this. He said, I thought something was wrong with you. You just been watching the game. I was like,
He said, yeah, go ahead. It's the truth, man. Like you just didn't know what to expect. I mean, the play calling was just horrible. I mean, like, listen, regardless if the instinct was to not really have the starters play this whole game, I mean, you see what Washington was – no, I'm sorry. Yeah, you see what Washington was doing against Dallas. Mm-hmm. You see what Cardinals did against us. Right. You see what, you know, a lot of these other teams just didn't really have nothing to play for. Go all out and just come out the ass with something different, just trying, regardless if it worked or not. And I think we had the opportunity to go ahead and do just that, and we didn't even take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Like, just try something different. See, the only way we're going to be able to get out of this funk is if we go into the bag and maybe pick out a handful of different plays than what we've been dealing with.
That's what I think is the most aggravating part about this whole thing, is because each week in and week out, I am stuck on the couch sitting there thinking about, What did we do? Like, what did we do this entire week? What was the planning? What was the practice like? Each week we're just sitting here and banging our heads up against the wall, trying the same things over and over again, and it's not working.
I have a question for both of you guys. When they threw that fucking wide receiver screen, how pissed were you guys?
Dude, if I see one more goddamn wide receiver screen.
You're going to see it, bro. That's just the thing. We're the wide screen. We're the screen team, man. The screen team.
I feel like the scream team every time they do it, man.
Did you see how many people were over there?
Yeah.
The whole defense was like, yeah, go ahead, throw it over here. Throw it over here.
Even when Marcus Mariota threw that one pass right into the defender's head, they read that shit. They read it. Yeah. They read it. They already knew what was coming. So, like, that's the scary part, man. And you know what I mean? You're going to go into the playoffs with that mentality, and then you know what Todd Bowles is all about, man.
Yeah.
You know what that man is about.
He's about that life. And
so
then, you know,
he saw that. He was like that big man in the meme. Like, you know what I mean? He over there chopping at his lips there and rubbing his hand. Like, oh, I got this.
Well, Prime, you know that I learned this from Jim Johnson. This is a copycat league. And if you paid attention to it, every time that they sent all those blitzes on us, the one thing that was pissing me off was that I saw last year, nobody was turning around to, if you go back and watch all the max blitzes, nobody was turning around, so he couldn't throw the ball to nobody. And it's like, he's standing back there like, damn, ain't nobody even looking at me. It's like, and then when he was scrambling, nobody's doing what they used to do. Nobody's getting themselves so they could be seen. Nobody's doing any of that. And
has a great point here. He's talking about why not even a fake bubble screen at the least? Like, every team is expecting the bubble screen. I mean, we are the screen team. Why not just have two guys heading out in either direction, fake one way and go the other? Where is the creativity?
That not only that, I got this from Sean P, because he used to Sean Payton used to I love his play call, and I love his innovativeness. I was always on the screen, so what he did to me was he ran two screens, and then he figured out that I figured out to go with the center, because they're always going to throw to the center because he's the fastest offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. Then he did it where he faked the screen, but instead of the running back lining up right here, the running back faked like he was going to line up right here, but then went to the middle where nobody was. It's like, so you know that they set the screens up on the side? And then he go hit that Texas right over the middle, because they just mauling us, dude. It's like, it's no way on God. We have a kick ass offensive line. And somebody asked me. I was with Mark Frazetta, and he asked me, what did I think they should do? Let Stoutland call the plays. Let him call the plays.
I mean, at this point, why not? It's something that I would have liked to have started doing a couple weeks ago, just so that you know Stoutland isn't doing it the first time in a playoff game. But dude, you need to switch it up. First of all, like, can we get percentages of? Let me just get, you know, what's the percentage chance that Brian Johnson is here next year?
Is there such a thing as half a percentage?
Sean Desai, Matt Patricia.
They're already talking about it. Got to go, both of them.
Nick Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni be here.
Are you putting that at 100% though, Hollis?
I put it at 100%. Do you know why? Because if you know, he's not picking his staff.
Yeah, but he's also not doing anything to help. He's the goddamn head coach. His team stinks.
He's a head coach, so that's why when you're a head coach, you have to give up some of the responsibilities of play call and stuff because you have to worry about the entire team.
And but he should have recognized by now that the play calling is absolute trash. Okay, and he's doing nothing.
Okay,
to
so what can he do? Because they're the one who, the powers that be are the one who put everybody in charge. This is a different hierarchy than you've ever seen before, young man.
I think it's a new breed of the way of looking at things from a Howie vision perspective, because he's got his hands so involved in things that the fact that they have to agree on a coach to come in here to actually.
I'm just asking a question.
Bill Belly, what's up?
Is that based off of last year, maybe the year before? Do you really think that that's the same mentality going in this year? You think he's really still doing the same thing?
I think so. Because think about how many times the Eagles made it to the Super Bowl in the last 6 years. They've got to be feeling themselves in a way that organizationally that they know what they're doing. But like from a culture perspective, bringing in the right guy to build a culture, but also agreeing to, you know, make this a unity thing here. Like, Belichick is not gonna. He's not gonna go for stuff like it's his call.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Belichick sets the roster, not his GM.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The only reason I know is because being over there, you know that. I'll put it this way: before they hired Doug, did they hire Jim Schwartz already?
I don't remember the order of operations there.
Yes, they hired Jim Schwartz, then they hired Doug. It's like that. So this is the thing that, and that's why Doug went to. When I talked to Doug, and when Doug did that end of the year meeting before he got fired, he wanted to have more say so over his staff. So they showed him the door. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's just what it is. They call like
it, Pete, the only, Pete says the wrong.
No, they didn't hire Doug first, Pete. I remember. No, they hired Jim Schwartz first.
We got to look at the fact
that. To the bottom of this, okay?
Yeah, give me to the bottom of it. Go look for it. Go look it up.
We gotta look at the fact that. This was a project that they obviously thought was going to go ahead and work out based off of the relationship that Jalen and Brian had. Desai, it was a decision that was made, and they thought they were going to go ahead and they rolled the dice on that one. And look, let's just say it, man. It didn't work. So they definitely got to go ahead and regroup. I don't know, man. I just don't know what Monday's going to be like, bro.
So a lot of these, I have
the stats here. Sorry. Just got to jump in. January 18th, 2016, Doug Peterson was hired. The next day, Jim Schwartz was hired.
Jim Schwartz was already here, though.
I'm just looking at.
He's a man, and he's right.
He's a man, and he's right.
I know. I'm a man, and I win.
Wrong.
But just looking from the pressure standpoint.
Because I'm telling you that Schwartz was already here. He just hadn't signed yet. They had already picked him to do it.
The technicality.
Well, because I've seen him.
I got you.
No, I mean, I definitely think there's a possibility,
talking to Doug at Jaws' golf outing. Well, right after he got fired, he said, I went in there. He said, and I knew as soon as I asked for more power over my staff, they were going to let me go. Mm-hmm. He said, but he had to do it. He said, because he couldn't keep going through what he was going through. Hmm. So, and it's like,
as a side note, I think Vrabel getting fired today was absolutely wild. I did not see that one coming.
I saw it coming. Yeah. It's the last year. It's the last year of the Tannehill kid. You haven't really you've been in the division that you should have, like that Peyton Manning used to own, and Peyton leaves, and you can't own it. You've been in the playoffs, but it's like the second coming of fucking Jim Fisher. Jeff Fisher. It's like
he built a culture down there. He did build a short period of time. He built a little culture, and then if you see the way they look when they traded away AJ Brown, I'm sure he wasn't on the same page. They've done a lot of things down there, kind of iffy. What is also iffy is my internet connection. As they're all y'all people on the East Coast, there is a storm coming, mm-hmm. or it's here. I think it's here, man.
Yeah,
it's a riot. You're late, dude. It's here. They're telling you to go for cover.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tornado watch.
No, it's not. It's like high winds and stuff.
Okay. Well, the high wind just took
flood zone. They was about to take over. I was gonna let them too.
I've been in my crawl space monitoring the water that's coming in. I was at Home Depot today. I feel like a prime, you know. Home ownership is a bag of tricks. But have you guys ever watched any of these pressers as of late?
Like what?
I haven't watched it, man. I can't watch it. Thank you. I think it's more frustrating watching these presses than watching the actual game, because the shit that comes out their mouth, the excuses, like there's just no solidified reasoning for this collapse, man. Like they still just can't convince me. I can't find anything good out of what is coming out their mouths. Any of them, players, coaches, ownership, like. I don't want to see it anymore. I can't even remember the last time I watched SportsCenter, bro. Like, I'm just tired of all these sportscasters. Well, I'm sorry. No disrespect. Female, male, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm just tired of hearing all their mouths. Yeah. I can't.
You know why you're tired of hearing it? It's because it's coming from people who have, like, it's like you coming from people who haven't done it, and it's not like they're getting personal. Like, it was easy when I was growing up. It was easy to listen to a lot of the guys because they had won titles or they had been really good when they played. You listen to the Dan Ostrowski and the Spears and all those guys, and like the David Carrs and the Scumbucket University guys. It's like, I mean, I listen to Shannon sometimes, but he's a loudmouth at times. But you look at you, and then you have this is how you know that they don't know what they're talking about. You remember when Cam Newton said what he said about the game managers, and when they start talking about it, the girl immediately went to start talking about the way he dressed. She's lost it. When you lose in a debate, you always go for personal attacks. So she had already lost, but then they go for personal attacks, and then it's like you bite the hand that feeds you, and it is the stuff that they be spewing, and the people who they ride it and make excuses for, and it's just like that's why I don't watch it either. Now for the guy who said if Sirianni is a yes man, and you know what was it like playing for Andy, it was worse playing for Andy because. At least you know the yes man is not lying to you.
My thing is Sirianni definitely he's got to play conductor, and I feel like if you in the beginning or even the next year after, go look at all these pressers when it's almost like Sirianni has to look before he speaks because he's like, can we say this? Can I don't want to speak out of turn. I mean talking about this organization, they've been to Super Bowl last 6 years with two different head coaches, mm-hmm. two different quarterbacks. They're feeling themselves in a kind of way like, hey, we put this pie together. It should taste good. But like, you know, Pete Nathan, the resident chef, you know, had mentioned earlier this year, like who's cooking the food. And which was a worse hire, Brian Johnson or Sean Desai?
Brian Johnson. I'm gonna say Brian Johnson. At least made sense to me because I saw like the idea that they were going for. I think that Sean Desai had done a good job of building up the secondary out in Seattle. Like I think he did a decent job with that defense, and that kind of what earned him the job. Brian Johnson felt more it was almost like a nepotism hire. Like he, just because he had that connection with Jalen Hurts, is kind of just what vaulted him to the top of the list. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that Jalen Hurts is close with. That doesn't mean that they're the right coach to run the entire offense of the Eagles. Yeah. I mean, Jalen Hurts' mom can't do that job either. She's real close with him. So I think you need to find someone with some actual experience in running an NFL offense in order to do that.
But does it piss you guys off more that Brian Johnson was here last year for the ride, for the entire ride as a quarterback's coach, and the way and it's like did you not pay attention?
It just seems like he has it, man. It just he when he got put into the position, it looks like I'm gonna say that Brian Johnson was just holding the clipboard that was actually probably one of those lingerie magazines on it, and he was paying attention to that, and not really watching plays and stuff like that. Like that's what I feel. And then like I'm looking at a picture of Brian Johnson right now. God, I just want to just smack him, dude. Like he looks, you know, he looks like Pete Nathan.
But like let's be honest here, like it's a Sirianni Brian Johnson show though.
The show fucking sucks, bro. I can see
near Sirianni calling more runs than the passes that they because when he first started calling the plays and we started running the ball, we was doing good, but then he turned it over to Deshaun Steichen, and I was trying to explain to somebody, when you have to worry about the whole team, it's different when you just have to worry about the offense. You're able to concentrate all week long on the offense. If you're the head coach, you got to concentrate on everything, the entire team, including special teams, because you have to know this stuff. You don't want to be their coach. You don't want to be like Lee Corso, what he said. When Lee Corso, they caught Lee Corso on the sideline saying, hey, why don't we run that play where the running back gets the ball and he runs outside and the other guy comes around? You don't want to be that coach. So you have to know pretty much everything. It's like, because you got to have your hands everywhere.
And so while we're on the topic of, you know, this team, we talked about how earlier in the year we were winning in spite of the coaching just based off of talent alone. I feel like it's kind of impossible to ignore something. Jalen Hurts has been on a downward trajectory the back half of this year, right? Like we can all agree on that one.
Yeah. So I'm gonna totally tell you yes, bro. Yeah.
Is that something that can be corrected? Like, yeah. I think you can turn it around, but you got to put the right pieces around them.
I mean, we also had Jalen Hurts injury, also, and I think that affected him stepping up into the pocket. You know, like I think he was playing a little. You know, he was that was on his mind. But again, the one thing I've been talking about week in and week out is setting his protections, Kelsey setting some of his protections. And then for weeks on end, they're allowing free blitzers just to come in and take shots at the quarterback. And at times I'm like, okay, Jalen, you see seven coming. And you saw it this week. Well, obviously, I don't think he saw the slot corner blitz on that one play, but the way that they're blitzing us, I'm like, you got to see these, and you got to max protect when you can. Hot again, we go back to the hot reads and stuff, but it's a mess handling the blitz.
When you look at that one, now we know why Perry hasn't been playing because he totally missed the slot corner you're talking about. And then if you pan out to when those blitzes are coming. Nobody's turning around for the hot read. That's why he's pumping. Everybody's running around. And it's like they don't know. It's like they haven't been coached. Because you see the max blitz coming. It's like if the slot's coming off you know the safety's all the way up there. The hot read is where the slot came from.
Every time I see someone get excited for the Eagles, there's the face I make.
Get excited that's for the Eagles?
Every time I see someone get excited for the Eagles, that's the face I make.
That's
fresh.
Yeah. Well, so, what did you guys? Did you guys see Dallas Goedert talk about saying that some of the players might be coasting, knowing that they're clinched the playoff?
Coasting meaning like we're playing possum right now.
Did you?
I felt, Dallas and Chad Ochocinco said. That's what you're saying.
I felt a certain way after that. I was like, that Dallas, you might be thinking that or know that, but like the fact that you said that, I was like, come on, Dallas, don't say that.
Nah, like, dude, like I don't think you play possum for a full month and change.
No, you don't.
Especially when you had an opportunity to, you know, get the number one seed. It was all in your control.
It's hard for me to believe.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. Especially like when AJ Brown is sitting there at his locker weeks ago, talk about how you just wait and see. You wait and see. We're going to turn this around. What happened? It's been pretty abysmal ever since that conversation.
Yeah, it's been pretty abysmal. I don't like the playing possum part. I don't see the playing possum part. And you can't just turn it on and turn it off. I'd like to see if they can make it happen.
If you're a betting man, if you follow the betting lines, the line continues to go in the Eagles' favor. I think it opened at like 1.5 points. Now the Eagles are a 3-point favorite, which means that the money around the world is betting on the Eagles, thinking that the Eagles are going to win this thing. So,
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think there is a possibility.
Would you put your money on the Eagles this week? Would you put your money on the Eagles this week?
I don't put money on the Eagles when I feel confident about them. I'm not a bettor.
I'm just saying, for betting purposes, would you put your money on the Eagles?
I think there is a chance that the Eagles could win this week. Yes. I have even if we do win, though, I have zero expectations. Like I don't think that we can turn it around this year. But I mean, you bring up like really important stats, point differential. You know, turnover differential. These are all writing on the wall that is telling us this is a bad team, and that's just what we are. I have to accept that.
That's some tough stuff. I mean, someone who is going to the game. I mean, Hollis, you're getting on a plane. I mean,
happy birthday too.
Your birthday is when?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So yeah. Could this be a birthday present for you, Eagles? I'm hoping it's an
Eagles victory. We're gonna be celebrating my birthday down there for a couple of days with Philly Sports Trips at a couple of places. Go to phillysportstrips.com. Shameless plug. I'm hoping that they do it. Somebody said they're gonna win. Watch. I was like, I'm gonna watch and see. I'll know by the body language early on in those first few series or what it's gonna be. It's up in the air because the playoffs is a whole different animal, man. And you know,
that's what they kept on emphasizing this whole week. Well, these past couple of days, the playoffs is a whole different situation. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to be that supporter. I bleed green to the day I die, man. I got my team's back. But my frustration, I'm allowed to have this frustration.
Oh, yeah, you're allowed.
I had a coworker today, like, yo, look, I see you different since your boys have been collapsing. I said, yeah, and I have every right to feel like this. You know, they're used to me being in my Eagles – in my Eagles green at work and all that stuff. And I'm gonna be honest, it hasn't really been in my mind. So I've been wearing like my company logos and stuff. And then the guy kind of threw that at me today. And I'm like, you know what? I'm punishing them. That's what I'm doing. I'm not wearing no green because they're on punishment with me. Until they can go ahead and prove something to me, then I'll put my green back on. But right now I'm mad. And I have
how far did you have to dig in that dresser to find some non-Eagles gear?
Well, it's hard because everything I'm moving to the side. It's like, you know, it's like you see those memes now on social media where something reminds you of somebody. I just keep on running into these shirts like, fuck,
get the fuck out of here.
No. Like,
Man, I did see that post by Jesse, and I've heard this from a couple Eagles talking about Eagle fans talking about this kind of this adversity has exposed some of the fake Eagle fans. Would you agree?
I got to be honest with you. I think after the month that we've just been through, I am saying that I'm rooting for this Eagles team. You as a fan have every right to be disappointed and be upset and fucking feel let down by this Eagles team. That doesn't make you a fake fan because you're not sitting here rah, rah, rah blindly every week. I think you have to be realistic. I love the Eagles to the day I die. I think they fucking suck this year. That's just what it is.
I don't think they fucking suck. I think we've been sucking the past 6 or 7 games.
6 weeks. That's exactly what I was going to say.
We've been sucking,
The past 6 weeks have been fucking hell, man.
Even those games that we won, there was. I went through last week.
What's the keyword in that phrase?
We did win.
Don't be that guy. It's like the one thing that I do, and you guys, and this is what I was looking at an interview from Charlie Hustle. And this is what I do know, and what pisses me off about playing possum comment. Charlie Hustle said that every time I touch the field, the baseball diamond, I'm there to give the fans a show to the best of my ability, no matter if it's All Star game or what. Hey,
it's my mother-in-law.
I was like, who? I'm telling you.
I was like, bro. Well, when he was doing the interview, they were interviewing him about. I know y'all remember. Y'all not old enough to remember, but I'm pretty sure y'all seen the film or where he was coming around and dude was blocking the plate. The catcher was blocking the plate during the All-Star game, and he ran his ass over.
I remember that clearly.
And during the interview afterwards, he say, if you as a player, a professional player, don't come out each and every time you touch the field, if you don't come out to give them a fucking show, then you cheat the fan. And to hear them say that, I feel like you guys have been cheated. I'm a fan as well, but to hear them say that, I will want to slap the shit out of them. When you look at it, there's no way on God. That last game was so fucking embarrassing. It was to be losing to them 24 to fuck. Really? To be losing to them. And we playing our starters. You came out there like a bunch of bitches and got punched in the mouth and they sent you back in the hole. I was like, I never seen no shit like that in my green. I never seen no shit like that.
So think about fan bases like the Black Hole, the Dog Pound. There was a third one I had in my mind. What I'm getting at is these are teams that historically have not done well, have had long stretches of poor seasons. And these fan bases look at their team realistically and like, you know what? We're not that good. We're just going to go out there and root for them. Are they not fans? They're realistic. They're dedicated. They're spending their money on going to the games. They're doing all that. They're just as much fans. It's just a, you know, they're not sitting there blindly expecting a win every single week.
You don't have to justify your negativity. That's like being an American citizen. We're an American citizen because we're afforded the freedom and the right to criticize this bitch as we see fit. When something's going on that you don't desire, you spend enough money going to the Eagles, enough of your hard earned money going to see the Eagles and supporting them so that you could be pissed off at them. I think the thing is like sometimes you hear them bitching like that and acting like hoes. I feel like they act like hoes. I was like, you about to go home in your plush ass ride, your plush ass crib, and live a baller life. And these are normal, regular, everyday people that wants all they want from you is the best that you can do. And they paying their hard-earned money, and they taking off work and stuff, and to come and see you put on the show, and you tell them you've been playing fucking possum. it's like going to a concert and thinking that they jamming and shit, and all of a sudden they tape skip like Milli Vanilli.
Yep. No, you're dead right.
So you guys are not wrong for feeling the way you do.
Nah, absolutely not. It's like you said, man. I mean, look, like it's a choice. It's our choice. Shit, it's me and Gail's choice. When we go into that pro shop, we support that team. We buy the stuff because we choose to, because we love the team. But like you said, we're not going to go to a goddamn game and then you're going to go ahead and lay down the way you did on Sunday. I'm going to have, excuse me, I'm going to have every right to be pissed the fuck off. I'm sitting there and I'm really just trying to enjoy the game as much as possible. But it was hard. Like, I mean, I think I probably.
You break that TV yet?
But I think I ended up bending my chair on the grip that I had on that thing because I was so mad, bro. Like, come on. We better than that. I'd rather go losing down there by 3 points, giving it all, losing that way, than the way we just lost, especially to a divisional rival team like that. Mm. Hell no. You know how much of the trash talking? The part that pisses me off is people you haven't even heard from in all year, maybe a year and a half, and then you get those phone calls. Oh, look at you now. Look at them now. I don't need that. I don't need that. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you're gonna be a true fan, be true fan all the way through.
Right.
All the way through.
Yeah, all the way through. And it's like, and that's what I'm saying. It's like it'll be different if you guys. It's like I take it upon myself when we lose to make sure that I dye my Eagles gear. Win, lose, or draw, motherfuckers. It's like get the fuck out of my face. You gonna come up here bumping? It's like you know. What you want me to say? We lost, and the only presser that I thoroughly enjoyed was Jason Kelsey. He came out. He said we got our ass kicked. It's nothing. We play like shit. We got our ass kicked. It's like, and I was laughing because everybody's been trying to make big deals out of stuff. It's football and it's never going to change, and. I don't know, and I don't see myself as a. If you play a possum, are you gonna be a free agent next year? This is a story that I've never told anybody.
You lose the money, right?
Yeah, and you go free agent. Now this is a story that I've never told anybody. You guys remember a defensive end named Simeon Rice?
Yeah, right. Yep.
So Simeon, you remember one of the first players to get a $100 million contract was Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. And Simeon Rice was still playing for the Arizona Cardinals at the time. Now, this is the part where the playing possum shit and that everybody watches film. So he was on the tour. He was an unrestricted free agent. Simeon Rice was. So he went to the Giants and said that he felt like he deserved $100 million like Brett Favre. So they gave him the schmooze and stuff. So then, when they were in the meeting, they turned on the film and showed him not playing the run. Showed him running around everything. Showed him getting drove back, and they asked him, "Do you think that's worth $100 million?" Huh. Only reason I know it is because I know Simeon from because we played against him. He played in the fighting line. I played against him in college, and he was best friends with our middle linebacker at my college. And when he told me that, I was like, "Wow, man, they did you like that, huh? That's real fucked up." But when you asking for their bread, like we talk about now, that possum shit, that like you supposed to be playing for your next year's contract. If they see that, no matter if the coaches are here or not, the next coach he's gonna be watching that. And when the chips are down, that's like we had Doc on this past week, and we was watching when the chips are down, who's still playing. Who's got the integrity? Who's still playing? Who's still out there fighting? Because it could get real, real disrespectful out there. Because they will. The other team, that team. The one thing that, and I haven't heard nobody say this shit this week. We lost everybody we lost to. I don't think nobody realized that every NFC team we lost to, they were trying to kick our ass because we were in the Super Bowl last year. If you look, everybody, we just played two Super Bowls, Arizona and the Giants. Those were their two Super Bowls. And then you saw how happy they was after they beat the team that represented the NFC in the Super Bowl. It just made me sick, dude. I was so damn pissed about that game on Sunday because we showed no fucking heart whatsoever. So that's why I was like, everybody who was saying what they're saying, it's like a bad relationship that we just keep going back to.
Speaking of a bad relationship, I can't help but ignore the irony too. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I feel like the Eagles have a way of doing this shit every year, one way or the other. Because like, there's times where the season is going poorly, and you're thinking that there's no chance that they're going to make the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, they have this late surge, and you know they're rocking it up. The trajectory's all right, and they're heading into the playoffs with a full head of steam. And then now we're heading into middle of the season with a full head of steam. We had all of the chips right in front of us, and we had to just find a way to make it interesting and make it difficult. And
piss everybody off.
Oh. Yeah. The Eagles can't put together a full season, man.
I remember 2 years ago, I remember, shout out to Lowski, but we went down there. I was talking to Ev and Prime. I said, yo, I'm going down there for the playoffs. They're like, you are fucking crazy. They said, don't get in that car and go down. I said, I got nothing else to. I said, I'm going down there. I did it. I drove down there. This was during the COVID season too. So it was like, you know, I was down there risking it all for the damn Eagles. But just thinking about the vibe that I was getting from all the Bucks fans who were not really Bucks fans. Like some of them were like closet, like Washington fans in there. A weird scene down there with Buck fandom, but just, you know, just feeling that walking out of that stadium and the anger, losing that. But I had a feeling that this team didn't have it. A lot of young players on this team. And now I start to think about this team going back there. Those younger players are now more veteran guys, and it's kind of a flip flop of situation. They are the favorite team, but they're going through some bumps and some bruises at the moment. But what is the biggest difference between that team and this team right now?
Well, I just want to make it very clear that regardless of whatever team you're going to get on Monday, your ass is not going to Tampa Bay, because if I got to flatten all four of your tires, I will do so. So if you got four flat tires, just know it was Prime that did it.
Yeah, when you're thinking about doing that, think about how was that ride back?
Yeah, and then we only got one mojo left. So I'm going to go ahead and hold on to that mojo for something that eventually go good on Monday. So I'm going to stop you from even attempting to making that trip, bro. All right, I'm just letting you know that right now. But with that being said, answering your question, man, I don't know. I mean, that's just the thing. It's just like, bro, I hate to say this, but it seems like the mentality that team had going into that playoff against the team is way stronger and more hyped up than the team we got right now. We got way more talent than what we did had then. That's the crazy part and scary part. Like, yeah. It's sad. It's sad to say I'm done, but again, I just got to keep it real, man. Like, this team really looks good on paper every damn week. You know what I mean? You start naming out all these players we got, and it's just like, yo, we got a real legit team, but they haven't been playing legit at all. And so that's my answer to your question. I really think this team is just not at that level, not as hungry, don't have that desire that team that year had.
So on a positive note, on trying to flip this thing around, we have guys that we can lean on, veteran leadership. Do you think that the core four can do anything to light a fire under this team's ass this week?
I personally think they can. The one thing that I want everybody to understand is this is not the same team as we had last year. There's six different starters on defense. You have to look at it like this: the core four are going to have to light a fire under the guys. We got rookies playing in the secondary now like a mother, and you know Slay is supposed to come back, which would probably be good. Bradbury's been semi pedestrian at best. But when you look at the defense mainly, it's six starters missing from that team. The linebacker, pretty much the linebacker core, Hargrave, CJ, and Marcus, pretty much going up the center. I was like, it's hard to produce that type of dog mentality. Mm-hmm. I was like, you got young guys that are in and out of the lineup and all the injuries and stuff. nobody's been there consistently. And he's, I think Kevin Bayard, I think he's a, I think he's like probably like one of gonna be the one of the, Dark Knights, because I like the way he moves, like the way he talks, and I like the way his preparation for each week. But if there's one thing that I think that we got going for ourselves is actually we got a good quarterback. We have a team that may be hungry. Everybody on this team didn't go to the Super Bowl last year, mm-hmm. So this is their first playoffs too. So it's like we can say what we want, but it's going to be up to them on how they are going to be remembered. So
we got to remember to say happy birthday to Cassie Bear as well. It's his birthday. Oh,
happy birthday, Cassie Bear, my fellow Capricorn.
So, the Cassie Bear be traveling all over the country. I think the last time I seen him for a playoff game, I think I might have seen him in Tampa.
Oh yeah,
maybe not. Man, the chat is popping right now. I mean, so do we have any words of positivity?
I could go through the medicals.
We could do that. That would be great. Yeah.
can I get my sounder, please? Hold on.
You want some music too?
I need folks, it hasn't been that great. I'm not going to lie. I think all of us collectively gasped pretty loudly when AJ Brown went down and was writhing in pain, grabbing his knee. Lucky to know that was just a scare. It's looking like he's going to be all right. He was waiting in the locker room, high-fiving everybody on the way in. He wasn't wearing a brace, anything like that. AJ's looking fine. Sydney Brown, not as good. That's a torn ACL. That's done for the year. He showed a lot of promise this year, but we'll see you next year. Cam Jurgens' eye injury doesn't seem like it's going to be a major thing. Hopefully he's going to be back. And the big one, Mr. Jalen Hurts with his swan finger.
He doesn't see it being a problem.
It's not a fracture, and he should be good to go for the game. So a lot of scares in the last game, but ultimately Sydney Brown is looking like the only casualty. So let's hope for the best.
This is Love. This is why they call it the swan finger.
Oh, I saw why they call it a swan finger. It looked like a swan head.
I got the swan finger right here. Mm. Never got it fixed. My finger is jacked up. Open my middle. Yeah. I'm talking about the injuries that, like, you're watching that game. You already know Devontae Smith already went down with a sprained ankle. Mm-hmm. And you see AJ get hurt. And then you see Hurts get hurt. I was like, God, I was like, the football gods are like
just biting on us and stomping us out, bro.
watching the circus for the past 6 weeks is like, on Sunday, as I'm watching this game, it's like I already knew that person was hurt. Blanket shit. When he made that tackle, I was like, shit, there he goes. He's hurt. No. He's walking to the sideline. Shout out to Chris Franklin, man, because he kept on play by play on, you know, everything that was pretty much going on. And like, he'll put it out there. Oh, Blankenship's under the tent. Jalen's under the tent. AJ's under the tent. Sydney Brown's under the tent. He mentioned I think Keith Bayard ended up going under the tent for like a quick second. You know what I mean? It's just like, shit. Here we were thinking about all week, was it the right move to go ahead and play these guys? And some of us fans were like, yeah, play the guys, but then look. Mm-hmm. That almost came back and bit us in the ass. MetLife is not the greatest stadium to play at, man. I mean, look what happened in the second play of the season. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, what the fuck?
I'm glad that you used the word circus prime, because like, as soon as you said that, it kind of, my mind went to like, think about if you were actually at the circus and they were doing the high flying trapeze act. And some guy just eats shit and fucking falls 40 feet. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, we're going to send another guy up there. Like, that's what this season has felt like.
Or
Scrape them off the floor. We got a show to do.
Yeah, now this is the funniest shit too, because you guys have never been privy to. So when you're in practice and somebody gets hurt in practice, guess what they do? All right, let's move that. Move the drill down 15 yards. Let's try this out of that.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving.
Or they'd be like, Riverside, turn it. We're going to go this way this time now. And then they look and then they start finish with practice, dude. That's like the, at least in the game, they stop.
Yeah. Move it down.
It's like, let's move down 15 yards. Now, you know what? Let's Riverside this. And we're going to go in the other way. We're going to do some red zone now.
Yeah. Right. But, I was just going to say that 843 Philly fan saying what we're all thinking here. I mean, the players that should be something that I feel like the players union should push for, honestly. Like there's way too many injuries that are happening on the turf. I don't know why that's not something that can be.
Well, Rodgers. You know what the one thing is
843 Philly.
My bad. Deepest apologies. I was looking at something else.
You look kind of similar, honestly.
No, not really. I'm too cool for that. just remember, but it's sometimes not that it's field turf. It's the sometimes they pick a bullshit ass company to put, because it's field turf places that put the right amount of padding there, and it's great, but the real grass is cool, but it's like they in order to do the real grass, they're gonna have to do those trays to where they're able to slide it like they do in Arizona. Where they're able to slide the whole field out
onto it. Yeah, it's not multiple pieces. Right.
So it's like, because when you do that tray system that they do, it's like, yeah, sometimes that shit, like, it's like it separates. But it's like, it's the field turf is, nobody's going to get hurt on field turf, though. But it's just actually the company and the level of thickness the patty in there. Sometimes Reggie Bush sued St. Louis Rams because their thickness, the level of thickness was supposed to be like this. Theirs was like this. So it was like on concrete and a piece of carpet.
And that must have felt nice.
Yeah, he actually just slipped and fell on his knee, like a routine slip and fall. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
just pull the fuck up, I'm sure.
Yeah, concrete, yeah. So he ended up suing them, so.
Before we get into some of these questions, I want to give a shout out to Philly Sports Trips. Looking to book a trip, go to phillysportstrips.com. Make sure to follow them at Sports Trips PHL. For more information on IG, hit them at Philly_sports_trips. And check them out. But also, you look for that information, you know, the ultimate Tampa Bay wild card playoff. Shout out to Jesse Wines for the graphic, too, and Hollis's mug there. The 50th birthday celebration. They have a tailgate party, and you can book a 2-night package with Philly Sports Trips.
Very nice.
What do you want for your birthday, Hollis?
Eagles victory. I want an Eagles victory, man. I don't know if I can afford that. Come on, man. Dig deep, Evan. Damn it. Dude, that would be the one of the ultimate birthday gifts. Is it to have my team win so I could talk shit to everybody else? Give me the reason to talk some shit.
I actually forgot about talking shit. It's crazy. I feel like I've just been getting shit talked to for the past month and a half. I've just been sitting here quiet with my tail between my legs.
And I've tried, man. I've tried just coming out of the woodworks with some shit talking and. I can't.
It's
a bit strongly.
Hey, Prime, this all you can do is like, this gonna pass, motherfucker.
It hasn't been strongly.
I had friends of mine in my group chat that aren't Eagles fans. They were just sitting there, you know, blowing me up. And I sent a picture of Bill Belichick. I'm like, we're on to the Sixer season. We're on to the Sixer season.
I had the head lawyer in my department at Paramount. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't say shit to your head boss. You got to sit there and take it. He sends me an email today, and he says, I thoroughly enjoyed that game this weekend, Gale. And I'm like, I got nothing to say.
Got to take it on the chin.
Got something to say. She says, what direction do you think Howie will go in the draft?
Defense?
Hopefully linebacker, man. Can we please?
For the love of God, Howie?
For the love of God, Howie. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. sitting right there.
Number two. Not in that second round. Well, the man.
Running back, well, maybe, if you don't go DeAndre Swift.
I would keep Swift on a nice little deal.
Gotta keep Swift.
Got it on a nice little 2 or 3 year deal, and watch caller, and then I would try to lure Derrick Henry here. He's gonna be a restricted free agent. He's gonna have to play a role.
He already said his goodbyes in Tennessee.
Yes, he did. Yep. And then
Mike Vrabel and Derrick Henry.
Mike Vrabel to me is a head coach in this league. In my opinion. I think he's going to find another head coaching job.
I think he's going to New England to be the predecessor up there.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's going up there. So
that would be interesting. Yeah. That would be interesting.
But then again, they may go with Brian Flores because if they get rid of Belichick.
Bob asks, would you rather have Henry or Saquon?
I take Saquon.
I
don't know. I've always loved Henry, man.
Henry's the beast. I like Henry because Henry's more durable. Saquon, if his nail gets chipped, he ain't playing.
Helene wants to know, what are we thinking about Ron Rivera? Maybe as like a DC?
I don't know, man. There's one DC that I'm kind of like just Wink. Hoping for and waiting to see if anything's going to happen.
Leslie Frazier?
Nah, I'm actually a big fan of Jeffrey Wade up in New York Jets, bro.
Okay. Oh, I love Jeff Wade.
Okay. Albert? Yeah. I'm a fan.
Leslie Frazier would be interesting.
Yeah, but I think in talking to Les, it's more of a
Mike Tomlin's available. Nick Sirianni, pack your bags, pal.
If Mike Tomlin's available, Mike Tomlin, they're not. What would they fire Mike Tomlin for? He's never had a losing season.
Crazy. I don't know, but if maybe it's like I don't know what the mentality of the Pittsburgh fans are, but maybe they've reached their Andy Reid limit. Like when we let Andy go, we knew he was going to be the best available head coach out there on the market. His time in Philadelphia was just up. He went and won the Super Bowl.
Remember, I worked closely with him. It took him forever.
Another way to get this guy started.
I'm not gonna kiss an overrated loser's ass. He didn't know how to time manage. He hasn't really done anything since the enemy is not there with him no more.
Interesting.
Wow. He didn't win with Doug, and he didn't win with the jackass that's the offensive coordinator now.
Whatever Washington offers the enemy,
I would double it.
And then, Evan,
I think it's not so much the plays and the way BNB calls it, but I think it's the way that BNB beat people ass. Because I heard when he first got to DC, they was like, "Oh, he's all over it. He's holding you accountable for your fucking job." And that's what we were missing defensively, offensively. We shouldn't have had two first time coordinators this season.
Pete Nee says, y'all want Mike Caldwell, the old Jags DC?
I take him. That's my guy. He had them heating shit up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what's funny? Brian, the dude from the San Diego, the LA Chargers, he fired, he ended up, after they lost in the playoffs, he fired their offensive coordinator. Their offensive coordinator scored like 35 points, and their defense gave up 42. But the head coach was the defensive guy. Now, they could score because Doug gave up. Dude threw two picks, threw 43 times, scored only 20 points, and dude gave up 28. And he fired the DC.
What do you guys think about Jesse Minter? Anyone?
I'm just depressed.
Is my internet bad?
Yeah, this is
no, I heard you. I was just sitting here thinking about it.
it's like, you know what? And tell me, I personally don't want to think about any coaches. I want to go into this game with nothing on my mind but trying to get an Eagles win, man.
That's pretty much where I'm at. All this draft shit
that everybody's talking and Ponte.
It's getting more depressing.
Yeah, but that, not only that, we sound like all of outside people whose season is over. We sound like our season ain't over yet.
I agree with you, man. I mentioned one name, and I just wanted to keep it moving after that, but I didn't even want to keep the conversation about coordinators. it's starting to get depressing, man. I don't even want to talk about coordinators. I don't want to talk about coordinators. I don't want to talk about draft. I don't want to talk about no Justin Bennett. I want to talk about being positive coming from Monday. You know what I mean? I'm really trying. I got from now till Monday to get some energy, find some type of positive out of all this. I keep on replaying all these videos, Chad, Dallas, some of the players that have been trying to talk positive, but I really, it's like you said, I want to go back to what you mentioned earlier. I really need to hear Fletcher, Jason, yep. Brandon Graham, and you know what I mean, come out this week, and those are the voices I need to hear. I need to know what I would love to be in that locker room hearing what they got to say. That's what I need. All right, give me one. Give me two out of the four. I don't care, and I'm good to go. That's going to get the wheels running for me.
Marissa asks, how do you guys feel about what Hargrave said? If you guys saw he did like a couple interviews. He mentioned that the practicing in San Fran is a little bit more difficult. He said it kind of like mocked the sports science in Philadelphia a little bit. Kind of chuckled after he said that.
He's at a level where he's enjoying himself right now, bro. If it was somewhere, if it was going the opposite direction, you wouldn't be hearing all this bullshit.
Yeah.
So he's having a good time. Have your fun. Because at the end of the day, this goes out to San Francisco fans, Cowboy fans. None of this shit talking, none of this shit matters until you're holding that goddamn trophy up. If you ain't holding that trophy up, y'all ain't shit. Just like we knew you ain't shit. So just remember that. Have your fun now. It's cool. But until you hold that trophy up, you ain't going to get no fucking respect from me. Mark my words.
That's the final word here on
personally, as a, like, I don't like what Javon. I don't like what Javon Hargrave had to say, but I'm sitting here thinking like I can't sit here and say, I don't know. I don't know what the Eagles practices look like versus the 49ers, but I can tell you that I like the 49ers head coach more than I like our head coach right now.
Right now. And it's understandable.
That's just a fact.
But I never like Kyle Shanahan, and I never will. Fuck the 49ers. Fuck Hargrove, whatever the fuck his name is. Fuck that. You don't know shit about what's going on over here. They practice harder. But didn't they lose against us in the NFC Championship game? The fuck out of here. Wasn't they bitching and whining the whole year about some shit? It's like, oh, this was a revenge game? It's not a fucking revenge game. You know what a revenge game is? Is if y'all beat us in the NFC Championship game, and then you
That's
go to the Super Bowl.
Game.
This
That's
is a just a game during the season. Stop bitching and moaning. Go fuck yourself. Fuck what everybody else saying. Is go Birds for fucking life. And that's it, man. It's what Prime just said. Fuck what they're talking about. We trying to get a victory Monday. Fuck everybody else.
Mm. Al Harris as defensive coordinator, Conrad.
That's my dog. Johnson. Dirty one.
Al Harris would be. He does some nice things with that secondary over there. I like it.
It'd be interesting.
It would be interesting, you know. But I ain't worried about that shit right now. look at Bob. Hey, the sweat jar is full. I'm about to take all the money in the sweat jar and go to the Jiggly Room and get a birthday special.
Shout out to JC. He said Brandon Graham already came out and said we got this. You guys feel better about this now that Graham has come out?
That's good, man. That's what we need.
I mean, that's the type of guy I need to show some fire. I just need the rest of the locker room to react to it.
That's it.
Now, Brandon asks, do you guys think Sirianni lost the locker room?
I think that's obvious, personally. I think we did.
I don't think he lost them.
What makes you think that he still has them?
Just because everybody keeps coming out and defending him and stuff. It's like the way you lose. It's like it's hard to lose a locker room, dude. It's like you would know if they lost the locker room. Because the guys who were playing backup who came out and they put up the little minuscule points, like they're not coming out and doing any of that or putting up no type of fight if he lost the locker room. So It's like, because at a certain point, when the young guys come out to fight for you, you haven't lost the locker room.
So do you think that, hypothetically speaking, let's just place ourselves in Tuesday morning. The Eagles just had a convincing fucking win against the Buccaneers. I would assume that the fan base is fully rejuvenated and back, right?
Nope.
No.
No, I don't think they will be.
I'm smiling.
Thank you.
And that's the start.
A nice 27-10 win against the Bucs.
Hold on, Ev. What are you doing? What are you doing, Ev? Because me and Prime, we're gonna be smiling like a motherfucker.
I'm gonna be happy. There you go.
You're smiling.
Yeah. I'm smiling. That's it.
You're smiling.
And we're gonna be content that day. But then exactly. we're gonna be content that day.
Because the real test is ahead of us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The real test is ahead of us. I'm not taking nothing away from Tampa, but pretty confident about Monday, straight up. All right. And I got till Monday to really get this thing going, but I'm pretty confident. But We got the real test ahead of us, and that's what I want. I want the
go
test.
Go pack, go. That's what I'm saying.
We know Aaron is their daddy, you know what I mean? But he's not there anymore. So hey, it's
Jordan Love been looking all right.
Jordan Love's time.
But I think we need to focus on the birds though.
We do.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. We need to channel our shit straight. If we want any positive, fuck the Cowboys. Fuck everybody else. We gonna focus everything we got on our birds, man. Because if we fuck everybody else, we're worried about we gonna put the kids and the wife to bed and sort everybody else and kick some ass and let everybody sort all the other shit out. Because if we don't do that, we worry about that. That's gonna take away from us focusing on our guys.
You're right.
It's just like. Sometimes I find myself still thinking like a player when I saw that they put both of the games at the same time. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I was like, if I was playing, I wouldn't be worried about nothing. I would just go out there and play and let the chips fall where they may. I think that's what we got to do as fans too. Fuck the Cowboys. I don't know how much conviction that each one of you guys can say, fuck the Cowboys with.
Like my man Jay Jai said.
Welcome.
We're asked some questions, but he said, Philly Fanatic said, what about Ocho Cinco's possum? My thing is, I wouldn't say call them possum. I just think they're like the college student with the exams. They're habitual line steppers, the Eagles. So they're waiting to the very last minute to study for the test. And this is it. You've been
college like that, Kale.
Dang, I got it.
Same.
Listen, thank you for that. Thank you for that. I needed that. I needed to hear that, bro.
That was good.
Fuck yeah. Go study for that test at the last minute and look at that goddamn outcome. That's what I'm saying.
Cheese get degrees. Cheese get degrees.
Hell yeah. That was a good one. Let's put that one on the shirt.
Todd asked a serious question. When we do curb stomp Bucks Monday night, will it be sunny in Philadelphia Tuesday morning and the mood changes?
Hey,
it'll
man,
be sunny. It'll be partly cloudy. That's what it's going to be.
It'll be partly cloudy. You'll be much nicer. The flight back to Philly will be so much greater.
And before we get out of here, I want to give a big shout out to Bud Light for holding down tailgates all season long. We want to give a shout out to Concha Hawk Italian Bakery for holding us down, as well as Red Bull for giving the tailgate wings. It's been a long time since we tailgated.
I know they were talking shit about y'all too. Do you know what Bud Light stands for though? Bitch, you don't like it. Go home then. Bitch, you don't like it. Go home then.
It's been a minute since we tailgated though.
Yeah, some people was like, hey, where's the 4th of July tailgate? And I was like, IDK.
Well, we had Christmas, it was all about the children, we had New Year's.
Yeah, bro.
I was Santa for Christmas.
The season was laid out perfect in the beginning of the season, you know what I mean? And then it just took its turn. So it took its turn at a reasonable time.
We are. I don't know if you saw my text, and they're talking about doing a watch party over at casino, live casino. Okay. That Monday night could be interesting. Could be the last time we all get together.
Nah.
I'm not gonna say is it gonna be the last time. It could be one of the last times this season. So make sure if you want to do a watch party. Some people want to watch from the basement.
I don't know about you, but I'm studying on Sunday.
Yep.
Studying on Sunday. I'm studying Sunday night for Monday's game.
Okay. So last word before we get out of here, we'll go with you, Tank.
Like, thank you guys for hanging with me this season and stuff. And this is not a goodbye. This is a hello. I'm happy to be back. We need to just focus all our positive energy on the Birds, though. And you know, fuck everybody else. that's pretty much that's all I got. Fuck everybody else. We focus all our positivity on the Birds. I don't give a fuck about Cowboys, the 49ers, hard grades, talking about how hard practice was. We talking about practice, really? Practice. Not the game, but practice. Go, all I gotta say is go Birds, fly Eagles, fly.
Primo, last word.
Yeah, man, like I said, from now till Monday, it's all about getting that energy, getting ready for this game. Hollis, I want to wish you many blessings, man.
Thanks,
a milestone reached, 50, you know what I mean? That's a blessing to be, you know, around. Wish you 50 more.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
You know what I mean? Hope you have a good time. Be safe out there. Represent. Go, you know, to the fullest. We're going to need that. We're going to need all the energy in Tampa Bay, back here at home. And Gail, it's whatever, bro. I'm down to go ahead and rep at the casino. If we decide to go ahead and do that, I'm all in for it. We're gonna go. We're gonna go with a bang. And like I said, we need to bring that energy on Monday. You know how I am, so I'm ready to go, bro. I just need just a couple more things to help me out to get there, and I'm good. And studying Sunday night before that test, man. I'm ready. Let's go. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Yeah, first I'll lead off by saying also happy birthday to you, Tank. I wish
Thanks,
you a
man.
Happy
Appreciate
one, man. Hope it's great. 50 is that's a milestone, man. However, if I could take a page out of the cliche sayings that Jalen Hurts would say, probably not this cliche, but it ain't over until the fat lady sings, and I don't hear her singing yet. So. You know, the Eagles still have a shot. This season is still alive. All they got to do is catch fire. Things look ugly right now, but come Monday night, we might have a completely different perspective on this team. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm holding out hope for. Let's go Birds, man. Let's fucking get it done.
To follow the positivity of these fine young gentlemen out here preaching the gospel, I say the NFL script has been really weird this year. It'll be really interesting to see the Eagles win this on Monday night and just turn it around. They would totally flip the script, no pun intended, but I feel like get it at the end of the day, Eagle fans, you root on your squad, you bleed green, show up, show out, get on a plane if you can, if you got the money and you just want to throw some money away. Go take a plane trip, Philly sports trips. Go out there, have a good time tailgating. Go to these watch parties, support your Birds, and let the Eagles do what they do. And that's win. Just win, baby.
Just win,
we'll see you guys in the next one. As always, fly, Eagles.
We got it. We can do it.